change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very happy today to be speaking with Ross Kimberlowski. Ross is the founder and CEO of CrowdSpring. Ross, how are you doing?
Doing well, Mickey. Thanks so much. Happy to be talking to you and your listeners.
Yeah, and I'm glad we could do this. What? Tell me real quick, what is CrowdSpring?
CrowdSpring is a global marketplace that helps nonprofits, entrepreneurs, businesses and agencies with everything from logo design to packaging design, web design, graphic design, product design, and even naming. Over 220,000 creatives have helped tens of thousands of the world's best nonprofits and businesses, and at a price point that's 10 to 50 times less than you would otherwise pay.
No kidding. Wow. And forgive my stupid question of the day here, but it sounds a little bit like Fiverr, but different.
So very different from Fiverr, very different both in terms of the business model and the quality. Our prices, for example, for a logo design project, $299 is the silver package. It includes the award to the winner and our fees. So it's a bit more than Fiverr, but the difference is, first of all, you're working with highly experienced designers. You're doing 100% all custom work. So there's no template work, there's no generic clip art, it's 100% custom. And rather than working with a single designer, you're actually working with dozens and picking your favorite design from among dozens of actual designs for your brand. So it turns the design model upside down and really helps nonprofits, business owners buy the design they love without having to wait for a designer to create something they might like.
That is very cool. And you've been doing this for how long?
We launched in 2008, so about a decade that we've been working, and we've clients from 100 countries, and designers are in every single country in the world.
Ah, okay. So let's shift into second gear and talk about nonprofit branding. What can you tell us about nonprofit branding, and how can nonprofits make sure that they're doing that correctly?
Well, I think there are a couple of important things. First of all, there's generally a misunderstanding, and this is not just among nonprofits, but in the business community too, of what a brand identity is. And so I want to make sure that we clarify that. A brand identity is all of the visible elements of your brand. Now, most people will say, my logo is my brand. And the answer is, it's not. Mm. Your logo is a small part of your brand. When you hire a designer, you're not asking the designer to design your brand. And so everything, including website, your business cards, your marketing materials, the posts on social networks, are a core part of your brand identity. Why is it important? For nonprofits in particular, it's really tough to get people to commit to a very quick understanding of what the nonprofit does. It's hard to get a buy-in to the mission. You're competing against so many other worthy nonprofits. That part of the way to become more consistent, part of the way to become more compelling for donors, for volunteers, for the general public, is to present a more polished professional image. And that's where good design and a strong brand identity comes into play.
Got it. And I think, you know, you're right. We've talked about this in the past on the show, but I think it's something that needs to be addressed again and again, that your brand is a whole lot more than just a tagline and a logo. It's the way you conduct business almost in a very general sense. It's all the communicative elements that tie into that.
And let me tell you why it's important. So, I mean, aside from the basic fact that donors, volunteers that will come to a nonprofit site, when they don't see a well-built site, when they see a logo that looks like it was created 15 years ago on Microsoft Paint, it leaves a really bad feeling. It doesn't create the kind of trust, the kind of loyalty that you want to create with your potential audience. And this is true for business corporations, businesses, and it's true for not-for-profit companies as well, or not-for-profit organizations. So 90%, as an example, 90% of people expect their experience with a brand, any kind of brand, whether it's a nonprofit or for-profit brand, to be similar across all platforms and devices. And one of the areas we see a lot of nonprofits really have a hard time here is their branding is different from their website, which is different from the marketing materials, different from the signage they create, different from the social networks they're on. And this creates a lot of confusion because there are a lot of nonprofits of similar names. And people who are trying to get comfortable with a brand, who are trying to understand that a nonprofit does a lot of social good, will often get confused by seeing that there will be very little consistency. And as a result, your donors say, well, I'll donate to somebody that appears to be more consistent, appears to be doing more social good. Even though your organization might be doing wonderful things, you're just not doing a good job telling your story.
Right. I'm going to ask you for examples. I don't know if you're allowed to name names, but I didn't know if you could think of a case study that we might discuss.
So there are lots of different areas that can work for different kinds of nonprofits. There's no one size fits all for everybody. And I'll mention in case I forget later, we have a terrific guide for nonprofits. It's a nonprofit branding guide on our blog. It's crowdspring.com/blog/nonprofit-branding. It's 14,000 words on how nonprofits can create a really strong nonprofit brand. And one of the things that we do in that guide is we walk through, I think, at least one example of a nonprofit brand that actually had rebranded, because this is true for a lot of nonprofits. And this was a program called Teen Living Programs that was started many decades ago to help homeless youths. And they were really started as a way to provide temporary housing for youths. But the problem is the organization became nationally known for something different, for a place for youth to reimagine their futures. And so their brand, the one they created originally, was really removed from what they were known for. And this is very typical in the nonprofit space, because you start an organization with a singular goal typically, and then as you work and gain foothold in the market and people recognize what you do, you will often expand your mission. And so this organization rebranded with a different name called Ignite. They developed a plan to introduce this new name. So they did a really nice job in creating a new, interesting name, one that looked really good that you could put on coffee cups, on t-shirts, on bags, because this is the kind of merchandise that donors, volunteers, and the general public will be happy to support. So they're really, really good examples of organizations that get it right. One kind of common overarching thing that nonprofits should keep in mind is the importance of symbols in a nonprofit brand. So for companies don't need to have symbols. CrowdSpring, for example, doesn't have a symbol. We have a logotype, meaning just letters in our name. But Apple, which is a famous commercial brand, has mm-hmm. the symbol of an apple. And there are many commercial companies. Many nonprofits do too. If we see a Red Cross, most people will associate the Red Cross with the American Red Cross, as an example. And so if your nonprofit either has no symbol today, or has a weak symbol that can't be recognized and can't stand on its own, that's one really compelling way to build a stronger brand identity, because people are able to recognize and react to images 60,000 times faster than we recognize and react to words.
No
Meaning,
kidding. Wow.
If your nonprofit can visually represent itself by a symbol, and this is why organizations like Ignite and others have symbols, you're going to do far better than those that don't have such a symbol.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to create a circumstance where, we're talking to nonprofits who all of a sudden start trying to redo their brand based on a symbol. Is there an exercise in discovery or a certain set of steps that a nonprofit might engage in to look at their branding elements and strategy?
Absolutely. So in our guide, we go into a lot of detail on this, but one of the very helpful ways that for-profit companies go through this exercise is called a SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
And a SWOT analysis is a analysis of your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So in the nonprofit branding guide I mentioned earlier, we go into detail on this. And give you the kinds of questions you should be asking yourself when you're doing this kind of SWOT analysis. And the reason it's so powerful is that oftentimes when you start a nonprofit, you're running it for a while, you're doing a lot of great good. And so you're working in the nonprofit. In other words, the day-to-day, and you're not taking the time as a founder to work on the nonprofit, to think about the mission, to take a step back and say, you know, where are we today and what can we do better? Because let's face it, almost every nonprofit has a problem with funding. You know, they're always looking for more donors. Every nonprofit is looking for more volunteers. Every nonprofit is looking for more exposure generally. So these are the kinds of questions, you know, stepping away and saying, how can I look at my nonprofit and what can I do to move it forward, that you would ask in a SWOT analysis are very important. And it's a really regimented process that could help you figure out where to go from here.
Right. And I'm looking at the blog piece you mentioned now, and it's got a good outline of the phases and the steps that a nonprofit might take to undergo this process.
It is. So we cover, I mean, there are a number of important things. First of all, we talk about, you know, how to do the research, how to figure out who your donors, who your volunteers are, how you connect with the general public. We talk about all the building blocks of a brand identity, because as I said earlier, a lot of people in the for-profit world and the nonprofit world think of a brand as your logo, and it's much more than that. So for example, lines, shapes, colors are all important elements of your brand. And so certain colors work really well for certain kinds of nonprofits, just as they do for profit corporations. But there are colors that don't work particularly well, depending on the area that you're trying to serve. It's one reason why major nonprofits, for example, the Target Cancer Research, will have the color pink in it. First of all, because it's already connected to cancer. Second of all, because the dominant audience they're trying to appeal to are women, and women tend to like the color pink. So these decisions often are arbitrary, because a lot of founders don't think hard about them, but they're not arbitrary in the sense that you're going to have a brand identity whether you create one or not. The problem is, unless you are deliberately taking steps to create a strong brand identity, the one you create is going to be disconnected from your mission. It's going to be disconnected from your vision. And here's why that's critical. Your brand image is how people perceive you. And the most important thing people should take away from this conversation is that your brand image is not what you say it is. It's how people perceive you. And so you could talk about your mission, you can talk about all the great things you've done, but if there is a disconnect between your brand identity and the mission and the things that you've done, people's perceptions will be very different. And so when they tell others, when they talk to their friends or colleagues, when they're talking on social media about the work that you do, they're going to be telling a different story than the one you are telling them. And so it's really important to sync up both your story and your brand identity so that you take control over how people perceive you.
Right. Could we talk about, just real quick, what are some of the pitfalls in this process that you can think of?
Well, the biggest one for any kind of organization, whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit, is if you are rebranding. So if you're starting a new nonprofit, then you're going to start at step one. You're going to try to find a strong name and ultimately build into it. You'll figure out your logo design, and then you'll figure out your website and other things. And there's an influence that takes place. So your name influences your logo influences your website design. So one pitfall could be costs. Obviously, this is one of the reasons we started CrowdSpring. We were able to reduce prices 10 to 50 times compared to the market through our innovative business model, and that has helped nonprofits. By the way, we help with this. So we have a program called Give Back, which we started in 2008. And if you go to crowdspring.com/give-back, you'll read about it. Every month, we pick a worthy nonprofit and we give them a free design project. So no cost to them, whether it's a logo design or a website design. Our creative community works for free. We waive all our fees. We work closely with the nonprofit. The details are on that page. The problem is predominantly more difficult for nonprofits that are looking to rebrand, which is the vast majority of nonprofits, because almost every nonprofit could use a refresh, could use a stronger brand. And there the problem is one that's similar to for-profit companies. How do I rebrand in a way that doesn't cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars? Because it's really hard to just overhaul the entire brand. And what we advise nonprofits to do is just take it in steps. Every nonprofit today, unless they are one of the most well-funded nonprofits in the world, like United Way, for example, or Red Cross, is going to have some challenges with its brand identity. It's going to have a disconnect between its website and its logo and its social account. So what we advise is, first of all, is the name for your nonprofit the right name? Because if you're going to change your name, this is the first thing that you ought to do before you do anything else. And if you get past that question, the next question is, what about your logo? And so you take it in stages: name, logo, website, marketing materials, and all those things. I wouldn't plan to do it all in one swoop because it takes time, it takes effort. But a nonprofit could easily do all of this in 6 to 12 months and gradually overhaul its brand identity. And the beauty is, you can get your volunteers, you can get your donors, you can get the general public to help you along this process. One way CrowdSpring helps you do that is, for example, with focus groups. You could launch free focus groups to ask your donors and volunteers to vote on their favorite designs. It creates this ownership, common ownership over the mission and the vision of the nonprofit and how to brand it correctly. But really, you have to do it generally in stages because it's expensive and time-consuming to overhaul the entire brand identity at once, and very few nonprofits can do it.
I was going to ask if market research was a piece of what you offered, because as you said, it's someone else's perception and that matters more than what you think you're saying. And but so, yeah, you've answered that question in terms of focus groups and helping, you know, dive into the elements of what may eventually constitute the brand. But the thing I keep going back to here, Ross, is the notion that like small to medium-sized nonprofits in general may not have a huge budget to be able to wrangle the entire process. And it looks like CrowdSpring is trying to make those elements easier to afford and work to the benefits of nonprofits in general.
We're definitely working hard to do that. And we have been for well over a decade. So it used to be that you had paid thousands of dollars to a freelancer or tens of thousands of dollars to an agency to build a simple brand identity, a logo and some colors and such. Whereas our entry point is $299, which is a great entry point for nonprofits. And again, our give back program makes it free for at least one nonprofit a month. The thing about design that I think it's so important for people to recognize is good design is really important. And you don't really appreciate the importance of good design until you see the damage that bad design creates for your ability to get volunteers, for your ability to find funders, for your ability to impress the general public. And this is true for any kind of organization.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding vigorously over here. I'm like, oh my God, that is so true.
Yeah, but I mean, good design makes a very strong first impression. So it takes people seconds to form an impression of a logo, for example. And if you think about it, if their impression is negative or neutral, you've already put yourself at a disadvantage. People that come to a website are not going to spend hours reading what you wrote. So if they have a bad impression of your website in the first couple of seconds, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. So really, this is fundamentally so true for everybody. Bad design is far, far more expensive than doing it right through good design. And hopefully companies like CrowdSpring have created a way for nonprofits to create good design in an affordable manner.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think we're going to title this episode, Bad Design is Expensive.
Yeah, I think it's a great title. And we fundamentally believe it. I mean, we see it every day. The best, most successful nonprofits fundamentally have a great mission. They help a lot of people, but they all know that to succeed and to expand that mission and to help more people, they need to have more volunteers. They need more donations. This is where good design becomes an accelerator. It helps their mission. It helps them complete their vision. It helps them to expand who they help and how they help and how much they help.
Amazing stuff. I can't wait to do the deep dive into your website. I'm looking at the blog piece you mentioned right now, and there's a, a wealth of information in that write-up that any nonprofit can sink their teeth into. If a listener wanted to get in touch with CrowdSpring or to ask you a question, how would you suggest they do that?
Feel free to contact me on Twitter at Ross Kimbarovsky, RossKimbarovsky, at CrowdSpring. We also have a Twitter account there. Or you can write to us at support@crowdspring.com. We offer free consultations to nonprofits. So it's pretty easy to figure out whether we can help you and so how much it would cost and where we would suggest to help you first. And as I said, you know, go to crowdspring.com/give-back. To learn about our give back program, because we want to help as many worthy causes as we can. We don't focus just on multinational charities. We look at local. We try to spread the love as much as we can, because ultimately everybody's doing a lot of social good, and we think it's important to recognize lots of different organizations.
Yeah, just amazing. Ross, thank you for taking the time to make this recording with me today.
Hey, Mickey, it was great to talk to you.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite you to be a part of these conversations. If you have an idea for the program or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please drop us a line via our website, nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.